Chippy, the parakeet, never saw it coming. One second, he was peacefully perched in his cage. The next, he was sucked in, washed up, and blown over. The problems began when Chippy's owner decided to clean Chippy's cage with a vacuum cleaner. She removed the attachment. She removed the attachment of the end of the vacuum cleaner. And when she did, the hose was stuck in the cage and the phone rang. And she turned to pick it up. She barely said hello when, swap, Chippy was sucked into the vacuum. The bird owner gasped, put down the phone, turned off the vacuum, and opened the bag. There was Chippy, still alive, but stunned. Since the bird was covered with dust and dirt, she grabbed him, raced to the bathroom, turned on the faucet, and held Chippy under the running water. Then, realizing that Chippy was soaked and shivering, she did what any compassionate bird owner would do. She reached for the hairdryer and blasted Chippy with hot air. Poor Chippy never knew it hit him. A few days after the trauma, the reporter who had initially written about the story contacted the bird owner and Chippy's owner to see how Chippy was recovering. And she said, "Well, Chippy doesn't sing much anymore. He just sits and stares. It's hard not to see why. Sucked in, washed up, and blown over, that's enough to steal the song from the stoutest heart." You know, a funny illustration, but a very big truth found in that. You know, all throughout life, I see people going through trials, and you can just see it. They wear it on their face. They have that long face. They seem washed up and blown over. They just look like they just want to quit. We see it way too much, but it's a very real reality in life. And I'm thankful James is going to talk to us this morning about how to deal with heartache, how to deal with trials in life. In the book, Your Father Loves You, the author writes this, listen to this: grace is God drawing sinners closer and closer to Him. How does God in His grace prosecute this purpose? Not by shielding us from assault by the work of the flesh or the devil, nor by protecting us from the burdensome and frustrating circumstances, not yet by shielding us from troubles created by our own temperament and psychology, but rather exposing us all to these things so as to overwhelm us with the sense of our own inadequacy and drive us to cling more closely to Him. Ladies and gentlemen, your trials of life, it's easy to just want to give up. But remember, God's doing something much greater in those trials than you could ever imagine. And that's what I want you to see this morning. If you have your copy of God's Word, turn to the book of James. I'm so excited about this series coming up. We are looking at an exposition of the book of James, verse by verse study of it. Now, what I want you to do in this study is to take these outlines and examine them yourselves. Do your own study on the book of James. Allow this outline to be even an increasing motivation for you to study more on the book of James. But that's where we have landed, and I'm excited for that. And this morning we're going to look at how to view trials in life, verses 1 through 4. I hope you have your copy of God's Word turned there. I'm going to read that here. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes scattered among the nations, greetings. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for your word. Father, thank you for how it speaks so clearly to us. Lord, we thank you for the love that you show us. And Father, you love us so much that you gave us a guideline. And today we're looking at the guideline of how to view trials in life. But Father, allow this time to be just your word saturating the hearts of your people. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me deal with verse 1 real quickly. The sermon actually comes from verses 2 through 4, but I don't want to skip over verse 1. In the study of Jude we're doing on Sunday nights, I went into depth about the author. I'm not going to do that here, but I just want to simply note to you, there are two possibilities of who the author of James is. It's either the author is either the Apostle James, or the only other option is the early church leader in Jerusalem, James. And that is James, the half-brother of Jesus. I'm just going to save you the heartache. It's James, the half-brother of Jesus, the leader at the early church in Jerusalem. Now, the book of James is one of the earliest letters ever written. It could be the oldest book in the entire New Testament. The book of James was probably written before A.D. 50. And this book was more than likely written right after Stephen had been martyred. And so James is writing to these Christians about the increasing persecution that's happening to Christians around the globe. So that is the author, and he's writing to Christians. The 12 tribes there that he's talking about, it refers to some Jewish tribes, but really, in the context of the whole thing, this is being written to all believing Christians in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, as we get into verses 2 through 4, I want to show you four biblical principles straight from this text of how to view trials in your life. Number one, in verse 2, we see that trials are inevitable. Trials are inevitable. Look at verse 2. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, when you face trials of many kinds. Now notice, James could have said, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, if you face trials of many kinds. But he doesn't. He says, whenever or when you face trials of many kinds. You know, James assumes here that we will all experience trials in this life. And I think any of us who have lived any amount of time say, that's absolutely true. We all experience trials of different kinds in life. Now, what's interesting about this verse is, I want you to take note of this. Look at the word face. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Now, that word face in the Greek is a Greek word, peripisite. It literally refers to falling into, just falling into. It could be referred to talk about, you know, in the desert with just sand that goes on and on and on. You're walking in sand and all of a sudden you don't ever see it coming and your foot goes into quicksand and you start to sink. You never see that quicksand coming, but you just fall into it. And James is saying there are times in life on the horizon where everything looks fine. My financial stability is good. My family is doing fine. I'm doing well in my occupation, and yet, all of a sudden, a trial hits. A devastation of life, a heartache, a pain, whatever it could be, those things just happen. And that's what James is literally saying in this verse. There are times in life that you don't even see it coming, and you just fall in to the trials of life. The best illustration of this is found when you look at Luke chapter 10, verse 30. We're given a perfect example of this. You don't have to turn there, but listen. Luke chapter 10, verse 30. And Jesus replied, said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he fell into the hand of robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. Now look at that. A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he fell into the hands of robbers. Same word, peripisite. It literally means to not see it coming, to just fall into. And that's what happens in our life. There are times that we're just moving along in life, and all of a sudden, it's just like you fell off a cliff that you didn't see coming. That's peripisite. And that's exactly what James says will happen in life. There are going to be times when trials hit. They are inevitable. They are inevitable. I have no idea where to quote this source, but an unknown source once said this. It was a story of a doctor to a patient. And the doctor said to the patient, I have bad news for you and worse news. And so the patient said, you know, let's have it, you know, dreading what the news was going to be. And the doctor said, the bad news is you only have 24 hours to live. The patient said, I can't imagine what could be worse than that. And the doctor said, I forgot to tell you yesterday. You know, the trials of life, we never see them coming, and sometimes they mount up on us before we know it. The weight of trials just bog us down. And James says, unfortunately, that's a fact of falling in a sinful world. That trials are inevitable, and they hit us, and we never see them coming. Yet now, I'm not going to leave you here. This would be a very depressing place to stay, wouldn't it? But guess what? James is not going to keep us there. Look at the next big point I want you to see. We are not to hang our heads in depression because the trials are inevitable. But number two, when facing trials, keep a positive outlook. When facing trials, keep a positive outlook. Look at verse 2 again. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. I want you to really key in on that first part of the verse. Consider it pure joy. Now, James is not making a point here to pretend that we're not going through trials in life. He's not making a point to just act like, well, you know, it doesn't really exist. That's not the point here. The point here is to realize trials are inevitable, but to look at them with a positive outlook, to have a positive outlook when you're hurting so bad. But you might ask the question, how is that accomplished? I'm hurting so bad. I'm dealing with so much troubles and trials in my life. How in the world could I have a positive outlook when dealing with those things? Remember this. God teaches us crucial lessons in those times of trials. Crucial that you couldn't learn any way else. They are crucial lessons to be learned. And because of that, you can look at your trials with a positive outlook. You know, there are many people, myself included, we look for ways to escape the various trials of life. But really, we're not to count that joy. We're to count it joy when we experience trials in this life, because that is when God is doing something bigger than you could imagine, even if you don't see it right away. An unknown source once wrote this poem, and I want to read it to you. This illustrates this point very clearly. Out of the darkness, out of the dark forbidding soil, the pure white lilies grow. Out of the black and murky clouds descends the stainless snow. Out of the crawling earth-bound worm, a butterfly is born. Out of a summer-shrouded night, behold, a golden morn. Out of the pain and stress of life, the peace of God pours down. Out of the nails, spear, the cross, redemption and a crown. Ladies and gentlemen, when the trials are dark, you just remember it's the darkness that produces the light. It's out of the darkness of the soil that rises a beautiful white lily. It's out of the darkness of the night that a golden sun arises. In our darkest trials come the most beautiful lessons that we could ever learn. And God's wanting to do that, to do great things in your life. He's not allowing you to go through trials just to hurt you. He's allowing you to go through trials to help you, to motivate you and encourage you for bigger and better things that He has for you. So the next time you go through these heart-wrenching trials, you just remember, out of the darkness of night comes the golden light of the sun. He's going to do something great in your life if you stay faithful to Him. Number three, how do I view trials in life? Profit from your trials. Do not go through trials and just lose everything God's trying to show you. Profit from those trials. Learn from those trials. Look at verse 3. Because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. James tells us here to turn our hardships into times of learning, times of understanding. You know, there's great profits that come from times of heartache and pain in life. And one of those great things that we profit from times of trials is this word we call perseverance. Perseverance, endurance. That's one of the most beautiful things that comes out of trials. And when Christians can face trials and keep their faith and stay faithful to God, there are great advantages from these testings. You know, trials taken rightly produce sterling qualities in the life of a believer. And one of those is perseverance. Now, what's very interesting in verse 3, I want you to see this. James writes, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Because you know. Now, in the Greek, I was looking at this. I've never seen that word before, and I was looking at the commentaries, and they haven't seen that word, or they have seen that word, but I'm not good enough to pronounce it, so I'm not going to. But what that word literally means is because you know, it literally means knowing through experience. Perseverance only comes through experiencing these trials. If everything was good all the time and everything was fine, you would never have to endure. You'd never have to persevere through those things. You'd give up. But because God allows you to experience those trials, He's growing perseverance in you. And He's growing perseverance in you for one reason, for a greater purpose, for His purpose and the destiny He's put on your life. Now, the more a believer experiences trials in this life and remains faithful to God, the more perseverance that grows within the believer. You know, the biblical principle of persevering through things in this life is a very underestimated principle in Christian life today. We don't, you know, we kind of have this pseudo spirituality. Let me tell you something, folks. The perseverance that you need to exhibit is on you. You can't just go through trials in life and say, oh, I'm going to give up because, after all, God's in control. That's not how it is. You're to persevere. God wants you to persevere so He can use you greater. It's a very important principle in the life of a Christian. The Seattle Times once reported this. Quote, George Mallory was the famed mountain climber who may have been the first person to ever reach the top of Mount Everest. In the early 1920s, he led a number of attempts to scale the mountain, eventually being killed in the third attempt in 1924. Before that last and fatal attempt, he had said, I can't see myself coming down defeated. Mallory was an extraordinary climber, and nothing would force him to give up. His body was found in 1999, well preserved by the snow and the ice, 27,000 feet up the mountain, just 2,000 feet from the peak. Give up? He did not. His body was found face down on the rocky slope, head toward the summit. His arms were extended high over his head. His toes were pointed into the mountain. His fingers dug into the loose rock, refusing to let go even as he drew his last breath. A short link of cotton rope was broken and looped around his waist. When those who had set up camp for Mallory further down the mountain returned to England, a banquet was held for them. A huge picture of Mount Everest stood behind the table. It is said that the leader of the group stood to be applauded, and with tears streaming down his face, turned and looked at the picture. I speak to you, Mount Everest, in the name of all brave men, living and those yet unborn, he said. Mount Everest, you defeated us once. You defeated us twice. You defeated us three times. But Mount Everest, we shall someday defeat you, because you can't get any bigger, but we can. And then in 1953, it came to pass. Two climbers, Edmund Hillary and Sherpa Norgay, reached the top. Ladies and gentlemen, you want to know one of the greatest reasons why God wants to grow this perseverance in you? Is because there are going to be great mountains when He's wanting to use you greater. When He's calling you to a bigger place of service for Him, listen to me. Satan wants to put bigger mountains in front of you, greater trials in front of you. And God's wanting to grow that perseverance in you. So once you fail twice, three times, you don't say, I'm giving up and I'm giving in. Your perseverance endures so God can use you for a greater purpose. He has a greater destiny for you than to give up and to go on. He wants you to persevere through those trials, and you can with His love and His grace and His strength. God wants to do amazing things through your trials, and one of those things is create perseverance in you. Number four, I want you to see this. I have asked the question here, what does perseverance produce in me? What does perseverance produce in me? When I'm facing these trials and I'm trying to persevere through them faithfully to God, what does that produce in me? James lets us in on that as well. Look at verse 4. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. The first thing I've put there is maturity. God produces maturity in us through perseverance of trials. You know, one of the great benefits from maturing in the Lord through perseverance of trials is that it seasons you. It seasons you. When littler things hit, you don't get so rattled over them. You just say, okay, I can make it through this because I have God's strength behind me. But I kind of want to expound on this for just a moment. We're all one team. Did you realize that? We're all a team. Us, First Baptist, Northside, Calvary, the First Baptist of Atlanta, Georgia, we're actually all on the same team. And our goal is to win as many souls as we possibly can to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, with that being said, listen to me. Maturity is not only for you personally. Maturity is for new believers. See, God wants to grow that perseverance in you so you can come along a newer believer and say, listen, this trial that you're going through, it's okay. You're going to make it. God has greater things for you. God's going to get you through this. That's one of the great blessings of maturity, is that you can come along newer believers and help disciple them through when trials hit their life. You know, I think of the great men who have surrounded around me during this time, seasoned pastors that I've talked to about so many things. I've been there. I've done that. I've went through that. This is how you deal with this. That's how you deal with that. It is a great blessing. And listen to me, every time you overcome a trial, God can use that maturing in your life for a newer believer as well. God wants to do that through the process of you persevering through trials. But also, not only does perseverance produce maturity in your life, it produces character in your life. Character. Listen to what Chuck Swindoll said in his book, Hope Again. He says, and I quote, "Nothing stands the test like solid character. You can handle the blast of adversity like a steer in a blizzard. The ice may form on your horns, but you keep standing against the wind and the raging storm because Christ is working in your spirit. Character will always win the day." As Horace Gracie wrote, "Fame is a vapor, popularity an accident, riches take wing, and only character endures." Two of the most greatest things God produces in your life through the perseverance of trials is maturity and character. Now listen to me very carefully. If you are not a Christian this morning and you're going through trials, none of this applies. This is only for believers. But listen to me, God loves you so much, He wants a relationship with you. If you're dealing with that conviction right now that you need to make things right between you and God, now is the time to do that. Is there a little voice in there saying it's time for me to get my life right with God? I hope you'll be obedient to that. This morning, as I stand down here and the music plays, I want you to come asking the Lord to save you. Or if you want to join this church by baptism or letter of faith, I welcome you here. Or any other thing that you would like to pray for, I welcome you here. Let's stand and let's pray. Lord Jesus, we come before you, God, and we thank you for your word. We thank you for how it speaks so clearly to our lives and so boldly. Father, I thank you that you're wanting to produce in us much more than we could ever imagine. Perseverance, Lord, can only come through experiencing the trials of life. Father, allow that to encourage us this morning. But for those who do not know you yet, Lord, in this service, God, convict them of their sin, and I pray that they'll come to you today. In Jesus' name, amen. Whatever it is, I'm down front.